Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. I'm especially glad you're listening today. I'm Bill Arnold, sitting in for Susie Larson, and I am excited to have you joining me for Live the Promise. Pastor Rob Benz was with me in Hour 1, and we talked about authentic community and the messiness of the church. We had a great conversation. If you want to hear all of that, you can go to myfaithradio.com and go to Live the Promise and check that out. Send it on to your friends as well. You can get that... I think right after the show, I think it's available. It's probably available now, isn't it, Matt? Not yet. He's shaking his head no. We're going to talk about what God is doing around the world to bring people to him, and we're going to bring our guest on the show, who's actually in the studio today, which is awfully nice for me. Matt Brown has written a book called Awakening, and he is in studio. He's an evangelist. He's an author, and he's the founder of Think Eternity. Think about that for a minute. He and his wife, Michelle, are impacting thousands of people with the gospel each year through live events and online. And they also minister to more than 400,000 followers on social media every day. Mr. Popular in the studio. And you can find his influencer page at myfaithradio.com. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, Bill. So glad to be here.
Well, you know, that's what everybody says. Now, first of all, I want to say you... look pretty good for just having a newborn baby 6.5 months ago.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine you're sleeping very much.
We're getting less than we used to.
Yeah, I figure. But little Caden came into the world 6.5 months ago, and you're a proud, happy papa, aren't you?
Yeah, it's just been incredible. And my wife and I are celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary coming up here in May, and it's been absolutely incredible. This is our first child, son, and... everything about it is better than I ever expected it to be. We are absolutely in love with him. And
cool.
Just loving being parents. But yes, we get less sleep than we used to.
Yeah. So, you know, Susie, as you know, loves to start the show discussing scripture. And I know that you're, I think you chose Psalm 105:5. Would you like me to read that?
Sure.
So I've got my Bible open right here. It says, keep your eyes open for God. Watch for his works. Be alert for signs of his presence. That's pretty cool. Talk about that.
Yeah, and it's just based off, like you mentioned already, my new book, Awakening, and the heart, the passion. I know that so many listeners on the show have here as well, but a reminder and an inspiration to us to be looking for what God's doing all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to get focused in on our church in front of us, maybe some churches we know of down the street, or what we hear of with our denomination, And this verse is a challenge to look outside and see what God's doing all over the world. We'd be so encouraged when we hear the stories of what he's doing. And so just a powerful verse that obviously has impacted me for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, such an encouragement to us today.
Okay. You make me a little sick, just so you know. I just have to say, I mean, you've written two books. You have 400,000 followers on social media. And you look like you should be in a Disney movie. All right, I've already had it with you, my friend.
I'll go.
Would you like to stay or would you like to leave?
I'd like to stay, but I'll go.
I will let you stay. Matt's nodding yes. Keep him in the studio. Don't lose him. All right, so give us a little backstory on your faith journey and actually what brought you to Christ. Because that if you're an evangelist, this is a big deal. I want to hear your story.
Yeah, well, I'd love to tell you I have this fantastic story about how I left a life of drugs and prostitution, but I didn't.
Okay.
Actually, so it was one of my earliest memories in life was my mom leading me to Christ, I was a young child at that time, and then obviously, as all of us do, as a young teenager, I remember vividly recommitting my life to Christ. There's a time, I believe, for every young person where we make our faith our own.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our parents' faith. That said, I read something this past year in a book by a lady named Gloria Furman, who's a pastor's wife out in the Middle East, actually in Dubai, which has some openness to Christian churches. And she shared that, and I'm going to totally ruin it, but it's so good.
Welcome
it's so
to my
powerful.
Show.
She says that any person who has been saved from a life of sin, of bondage of sin, from the pits of hell, because the only Son of God gave his life on the cross for them, does not have a boring testimony. And that it spoke volumes to me. What was interesting is, as a, later in my teenage years, at 17, I sensed a call to evangelistic ministry. Even though I had grown up in the church and been a part of the church, I felt God calling me to reach people outside the church.
You weren't home watching The Simpsons? I mean, come on. You're called to evangelism at 17?
Well, hey, I'm not perfect in any way, shape, or form.
I'm just trying to figure out who is mentoring you, who's encouraging you. Are you getting what word are you getting that says I'm going to become an evangelist? You're 17.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was at a youth conference.
Okay.
And it just happened to be at what is now my home church, but it was my first time visiting there. And God just hit my heart so hard for, as a senior in high school, for the people around me who didn't know Christ, and I actually began to cry. As a man, for people who didn't know Christ, and it was just clearly God was moving on my heart. And so that said, I still like to have fun.
Yeah, and that's so sweet, and that's going to stop me from making fun of you.
You might make me cry
so
again.
It's so very sweet. Yeah. All right, let's jump to book number two. Excuse me, I don't think I've written one yet. So let's just go to book number two called The Awakening, How God's Next Great Move Inspires and Influences Our Lives Today. There's the title. On the back cover, it says, we keep hearing about weakening faith in our country, but God is alive and well in America. He's working right here and now in people of faith. Are you ready to awaken to his presence? Pretty bold statement, Mr. Yeah. Matt Brown,
no, amen,
evangelist,
amen. So the
youngster.
The
you're in high school. Are you still in high school?
No.
I bet you are.
No.
Check his papers, Matt.
No.
Seriously. All right.
No, so, yeah, so it's after, so about 13 years of evangelistic ministry now, preaching the gospel around the country and a few other places of the world as well. I literally believe God has been bringing stories after stories of basically what we read, Psalm 105:5, of things that are happening, how God is moving across my path over and over again. I'm like, this is just absolutely fantastic. I need to share this. And every time I've shared just some of the statistics of God actually doing great things, because when we turn on the news, when you turn on the morning news, you hear about a lot of negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I could list, like, here's the three things you're going to hear every single time you turn on the morning news. It's what the media is pounding right now.
Right.
And there's a few fun positive stories and emotional things, but it's just, for the most part, discouraging. And it's discouraging when it is stories about Christianity or faith. It's beating it down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've come across these stories, and as I've shared them at local churches of all different sizes, especially a lot of smaller churches around the country, the average church size is 120 people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not any different than what I grew up in myself here in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that a mega church is better than a small church, but specifically in a small church and even in a mega church, we can get this tunnel vision where we don't see the big things that God's doing. No, let me give you just one example.
Okay.
On a single weekend, in churches around the country, in America, more people gather than all of the stadiums over an entire season of the NFL.
Over the entire season?
On a single weekend of church, more
people. That's a staggering statistic.
And you can Google it. You can find the statistic mm-hmm. and see the research on this. But basically, we don't realize how big of what God's doing. It's not to say that it's big, but it's to say there's many stories mm-hmm. of lives that have been transformed by Christ. So as I've shared these, you know, stories of different things I've been hearing about how God's moving in the church around the world.
Mm-hmm.
People are just, I see them visibly encouraged over mm-hmm. and over again. And so basically, when I finished my last book, like I mentioned 6 years ago, which was on church history, I began to write about what's happening today. And it came into this culmination of this book, Awakening. And to write, you know, just took notes for many years, and finally was able to write this out and, mm-hmm. and get it published through Leafwood Publishers. And so mm-hmm. just super excited. Hopefully that'll be an encouragement to people of what's happening today.
Well, I think the title is encouraging, and I think the whole idea that we need to have a renewal in our own faith in our country, because right now I think it's taken a beating. And I think people feel a little bit beat up and wounded by the attacks that are going on.
Yep.
And there's a lot of strength in the body of Christ, of course. Yep. And we have to stay focused and do the work that he calls us to do.
Yeah, it's so easy to get focused on the negative, and the Bible tells us to focus on the things that are lovely, pure, noble, and of good report. That's such a important verse, I think, for believers today, for everyone listening today.
The Philippians 4:8, right around there.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep, that's what it is. There's a statement by Carl Henry, who I believe was the first editor of Christianity Today, and I share about it in the book. And he says, the early Christians did not say, "Look what the world has come to," which we hear a lot of day. We hear a lot of times now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at all the problems in the world. But he said their message was, "Look what has come to the world."
Awesome.
So is this, I mean, years ago before Twitter, right? It was this play on words, super fun. And he's saying, look at, you know, this was the message when you read through the beginning of our faith, the early church in the book of Acts, that they were excited about what God was doing. They were talking about it. We just did a conference at the end of February at Wheaton College in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sharing with you a little bit before we had, before we started the show here, we had 23 young evangelistic leaders there. And it was just so fun to feature the stories of these young leaders who are seeing God move all across the world, and especially across our nation. And through this process, we actually ended up getting a note, and a special note from a guy named Dr. Ronnie Floyd, who's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the largest U.S. Protestant denomination, about 16 million adherents in the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't think we have as many up in the Midwest, but they're across the nation, amazing churches, amazing people. And just before he even came to that conference, he had the opportunity to share for whatever reason on Fox News, and he's calling the nation to a call to extraordinary prayer for spiritual awakening in our nation. And it was just incredible to see. And having him gather with us, there was just such a spirit of excitement about what God's doing, a hunger, not only for, you know, the fact that we are seeing God do great things, but to see him do even greater things.
Yeah, that's powerful. We're talking to Matt Brown. He's written a book called Awakening. We're going to take a short break when we come back. Lots more with him, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Live the Promise. Susie Larson is not here today. It's me, Bill Arnold, filling in for her. Be back in a minute. Welcome back to Live the Promise. Thanks for joining us today. Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie Larson. We're talking to Matt Brown, who's an evangelist. And Matt, I'm telling you, if I were ever to start like a talent mafia and I was eliminating people with too much talent, you, my friend, would get snuffed out early on, just so you know.
Bill, you just keep offsetting me.
Just so you know.
Just making me laugh all the time, man.
That's okay. But you've written a book called Awakening, and we want to wake up to what God is doing in our country and in our lives. And you've got a great bunch of stories. And here's a quote from your book. I want to jump into a quote from Awakening. Matt Brown, the author: "There are incredible stories happening in Christianity all over the world today. They do not often make national news, but they're happening, and we would be greatly encouraged if we knew of them. All of a sudden, we wouldn't feel so discouraged, insignificant, or isolated in our faith. We are part of a much bigger movement, a great movement of God that depends on our role in it." I bet you got a story that goes along with that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, one of the kind of original stories as I was going through this writing process that really hit me hard was about a year and a half ago. My wife and I were invited to visit the work of an author by his publisher out in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually a Chinese immigrant, I think 30 some years ago, named Roger Hong. Has a work basically with the largest, I think it's the largest homeless population in North America. And it's about 6,000 homeless people in a single city street block.
Wow.
Known as the Tenderloin in San Francisco. And we thought we were just going to be talking with him some and hearing about his stories. And they had us out on
work,
the streets. They had us going door to door in these apartments that are one night only. And we don't know what's going to be on the other side of that door. And we're knocking and we're handing out food. And
it was
a powerful time. And he was actually a close friend of Francis Chan. Chan had spent like 2 years there working with Roger's son and working in that area, and it had, you know, I believe deeply impacted some of his writing, some of his work. And So from there, we take a few extra days. We're in San Francisco. We want to see the city. We want to go to the restaurants. And so we end up going down by the bay. And there just happens to be this, it's this yacht race, kind of this world yacht race called America's Cup.
Mm-hmm.
It's put on by billionaire Larry Ellis, who's one of the richest guys in the world, founder of Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just happened to be there during that time. It was kind of fun to see some of the things, to watch some of the events that were happening and visit the footprint. They want it to be kind of like the Olympics. And as we were down there, there was this story on one of the screens as we're just, you know, laying around all day, just having fun on these big beanbags on the lawn. And he's sharing this story of a solo around the world yacht racer. I don't know if you've heard of that before, but it's a guy named Alex Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And he participates in this thing called the Vendee Globe, which is you have this gigantic yacht that usually takes about 16 people to run, but only, it's in this race, only one guy runs it.
Wow.
By himself. So he heads out around the world. I believe it's an 80-day race by himself on this yacht. And because he's by himself, it typically takes 16 people to run. He can't sleep for more than 20 minutes at a time because his boat could capsize.
Wow.
And this is for many weeks. And so
after 3 days, I'd be praying for the boat to capsize.
Exactly.
Just take me down now.
And he shares these incredible quotes. Actually, he shares this quote with CNN. He says, you know, when you're out there on your own in the Southern Ocean, where you're going to spend 5 weeks in wind chill factors of minus 20, and there's no one to help you, your brain is telling you you're going to die, and you've got to learn to control that emotion. You've got to be able to sleep. You've got to be able to eat. You've got to be able to do your jobs and sail the boat. That takes some mental strength and also some mental instability. This is what he tells CNN.
Oh, funny.
So he's sharing this story. Another thing about the race is that 3,000 people have climbed Mount Everest. 500 people have been to the space, but less than 100 people have sailed solo nonstop around the world. So it's just like feat of human strength.
Right.
And he said this quote on that screen that I felt just applied to what God is doing in the world today. He said that when he's out there and the waves are pounding him on every side, he's overcome with a feeling of smallness. And he realizes how insignificant he is in the midst of the surging, awe-inspiring waves.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, spoke to how massively important it is for believers to get out there into the Southern Oceans, we'll call it, right? To see what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
To be overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
By the amount of activity that God's doing around the world. And it really goes to a verse in John 21:25, where John says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, okay, this is in a 3-year period of ministry. If everyone was written down, there wouldn't be enough books in all of the world to hold all the things that Jesus did.
Wow.
It's so easy to become spiritually blind to either a small or great capacity, even for believers, and there's scriptural precedent for this, that we miss what God's doing. But if we could get out there like Alex with his, you know, yacht, in a sense, just spiritually going out and being open and seeing intentionally all these things, these movements as God's doing around the world, we would be encouraged. We would feel insignificant.
Yeah.
We would feel small, but we'd realize there's this much more big story that we're a part of that God is doing.
Right, but if I don't get to sleep more than 20 minutes at a time, I'm not interested.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if I don't get 14 hours a night, I'm a mess.
14 hours, that is pretty good, my friend.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. But I get up early. I get up early. I get up about 5 after 11. I get up usually. Okay, you share a story in your book about David Cho, who pastors in South Korea. How is God moving in his church?
Yep, there's some incredible stories about...
Yeah,
no, thank you. So there's some incredible stories about God moving, and I share some of those in Awakening. One, obviously, I briefly mentioned is Pastor Cho's church in South Korea, which is, I believe, about 830,000 weekly attendees. Now, that's not members who at some point their family was apart, but these are people who come together on weekends, and obviously they meet in churches around the city, but I've heard that it's traffic jamming crowds to get to church, obviously, with that many people throughout the week. And so it's a huge small group church, and so it's just this incredible movement, and I've just heard about the heart for prayer that church has, and just the incredible things that are happening from there. I actually saw an article with him. This is going back a couple years because his church has been known around the world for many years. I believe at that time the largest church in the world. Now there may potentially be larger churches now in in Africa than that, according to some people that I've connected with. But this church he shared in this article, they said, what are your goals in the next 2 years? And he said they had a goal of planting 2,000 churches in the next 2 years and evangelizing North Korea and China. And
wow.
I was like, I think as I'm reading this, I'm pretty sure he actually thinks that's what's they're going to do it. Like, can you imagine with the manpower and women power of just this massive church of hundreds of thousands of believers? And so that's one thing. But there's so many things. My brother went down to Bogota, Colombia years ago for a conference, a church of about 250,000 people in one of the drug capitals of the world that is seeing God move in incredible ways. And I'm not kidding you. My brother's a youth pastor near Chicago. He went to the youth service, which is 70,000 young people that meet in a soccer stadium for youth group every week.
Oh, come on.
And
are you serious?
These are the kind of stories of things that are happening. And legit, people have seen them with their own eyes. And so, yeah, just incredible movements happening all over. Actually, one that's really encouraging, if you'll let me, is in America. And this happened a couple years ago. And I just kind of put this together, noticed what was happening.
Okay.
Passion Conference, which you've probably heard of, Louis Giglio. It's where a lot of our great worship comes from. Chris Tomlin and Matt Redman and Christy Knuckles, Kristen Sanf, all these people have come out of Passion Movement and the things that God has done there in Atlanta. They held their conference at New Year's Eve a couple years ago, and they just held it again, and it's been growing even since then. But at this point, it was about 20,000 people, young people, a lot of young people, a lot of young adults. Now, there's people of all ages, but I think it's encouraging for Christians in America to see young people excited about their faith.
No kidding.
At that same time, now that would be cool enough in itself, but at that same time, Urbana Missions Conference is taking place in Urbana, Illinois, and they've got about 17,000 young people, and they're coming together saying, what if you gave your life to missions, to proclaim the glory of God, right? I mean, this is a ton of young people across the nation coming together, and these are the same time as Passion, and they're both these sold-out audiences, and literally at that same time, there was a big prayer gathering at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri, of about 25,000, mostly young people, that are passionate about praying. They were praying for the people in Urbana. Urbana's praying for them. And so at the same moment on one New Year's Eve a couple of years ago, there's like 60, 70,000 young adults across the nation crying out to God with this brand and faith of Christianity that's passionate, all about worship, all about the glory of God, all about seeking God in prayer, and all about getting the gospel out through missions. And so I was super encouraged by that.
Well, I am too, and I am overwhelmed with the prayer connection to these great movements that are going on, because this is not happening without prayer.
Yep.
And it is a loud reminder to me about the significance of prayer, the importance of prayer, and that's what we need to do more than anything.
Yep. Amen.
You know, for these great movements, and we're going to talk about a little bit more when we come back from the break. But we're talking to Matt Brown in studio today. He's written a book called Awakening. And some of these stories, Matt, are so profoundly interesting. And if you have a story of great encouragement about what young kids are doing today, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, because that certainly encourages us, because we see a lot of problems with kids today, and it's really nice to see and hear stories on the other side. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold today sitting in for Susie Larson. We're going to take a short break and be right back. Thanks for being with us today. To Live the Promise, 4:32 on a near perfect afternoon. Happy Tuesday. We're glad you joined us today. And if you've been listening, we are talking to Matt Brown. And if you just joined us, he is an evangelist. He's an author. He's written a couple books already. And I think he's still in high school, which just bugs me. I don't know.
Hopefully I don't look that young, man.
You look pretty young. I got to be honest. You know, for our premium subscribers that are watching us on the video cam, you can just see how young Matt is. Don't worry, Matt. We don't have a video.
Yeah, I was really wondering about that, you know.
Yeah, but you're sharing really interesting and motivational stories about what God is doing around the world, because these stories are not on my radar, and I want to hear more of them. You were telling me right when we went to break about a friend in Honduras.
Yep.
Talk about what that experience was like.
Yeah, I have a buddy named Dominic. We just have connected over the years. Young evangelistic leader, you know, wonderful guy. And he's been doing, he and his wife, ministry. Aside from, you know, some humanitarian work, helping orphans and stuff, they've been doing a lot of evangelistic work, specifically really on investing in a city and seeing the gospel come to a city. Well, there was this dream that God put on their heart based off the Old Testament verse, "Can a nation be saved in a day? Can a country be brought forth in a single moment?"
Mm-hmm.
And they began to develop some incredible relationships and connections in Honduras with actually the president of the nation. They met with him about this idea, and they did this nationwide campaign. And I actually got to fly down for half a week and actually see with my own eyes, be an eyewitness of what happened and write about it in my book there in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, which is the capital. And I should just give a disclaimer to what was going on in Honduras at that time. It was economically struggling deeply, and it also is known for the most homicides per capita of anywhere else in the world. Now, if you come in as an outsider, there wasn't as much of a fear of that, but just amongst the people of the nation, there was just a lot of violence.
I'd be looking over my shoulder a lot if I were you.
Well, I didn't know that statistic until I got there. So who knows if that would have changed my mind.
I'm not sure you would have gotten on the plane had you known that.
I knew we'd be safe, but you know, there's some fear when you go to these different nations. And so so they held this effort. So that's where the nation had been. They held this effort called One Nation, One Day, where they wanted to preach the gospel to the entire nation in a single day. And so what ended up happening is they had, previously they had brought in, I think, a couple hundred people on a short-term mission.
Yep.
And they gathered the largest short-term mission team in history. And I should just say, Dominic is younger than I am. So if you think I'm in high school, he was in middle school.
Yeah, he's like in middle school. He's going down, too.
No, he's a young guy.
He's on the talent mafia.
And, but yet God has clearly, I believe through his age even, showed that God is capable of doing amazing things through whoever is open to letting God use them. I mean, it's just astonishing. So I was there, saw with my own eyes. They actually did a lot of things. They had medical work, and they brought down doctors who gave free care. They brought down, I think, 100,000 pairs of shoes for kids without even the ability to purchase shoes. So they did a lot of that stuff. But they also went to every single school in the nation and shared the gospel openly.
It's amazing.
They got the Congress and the president to, now this just happened, this is like a year and a half ago, they got the president of the nation and the Congress to write into law, this is a national holiday, and donate to them the 18 largest stadiums in the country where they could preach the gospel.
Okay, that sounds like America all of a sudden. Oh, wait a minute.
Well, even beyond, right? Even beyond. I mean, what politician in America would say, hey, we're just going to donate these stadiums so you can better our people by sharing
that
the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Is
the hope. I mean,
amazing.
That would be astonishing if America allowed this. So, so they did that. And then they, I mean, just a whole other level. And then they held this event in the 18 largest stadiums. Now, I was with Dominic in the largest stadium. I sat in the green room with the president of the nation as he addressed the nation. It was on national television. Over the whole country, it was broadcast on all the major TV channels, all the major radio stations. It was on the front page of every major newspaper the next morning, and there was basically one in seven of every person in the country gathered in stadiums. So one out of every seven people in the country gathered in stadiums outside of those who heard it on the radio and TV, and heard the gospel on a single day. And it was amazing. And
that's utterly
since then,
unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, obviously, if I wouldn't have seen it, I don't know if I'd be like, are you sure that's really what happened?
Seriously.
A year after that, they said that the homicide rates, the, you know, minister of this area, specifically overseeing violence, said that the homicide rate had decreased down to 25% of what it had been a year later. And so, obviously, it's one thing to preach the gospel, and then see a nation transformed.
Yeah.
I mean, so this just happened, and that's probably why what was interesting, and here's what I'll tell you, Bill. I came across on my flight and in the airport other missions teams of other denominations who'd come down completely separate of what was happening that week. And they didn't even know what was going on.
Are you kidding me?
So there's this that, like, it's just so easy for us to miss what God's doing. It is.
No kidding.
I mean, you can't make these stories up. And so
that sounds made up almost.
No.
It's
and so
spectacular.
Several teams that I came across, and no, we didn't even hear about what was going on. You know, maybe they were working off on an orphanage or whatever. But I was just absolutely amazed and encouraged to see what God was doing.
and the president of the country is on board. So this movement is genuine. This awakening is genuine. And what are the signs and the biblical principles that we apply to make sure it's authentic and it is, in fact, genuine?
Well, I would say one of the main things is that it's all about Jesus.
Okay.
All about lifting Jesus up and not a person or, a revival leader. It can get a little messy because there can be some great things that God's doing, but leaders are too focused on maybe being up front or on, distinctive things in Scripture. So maybe they're focused on miracles or on healing or too focused on stuff besides the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It really needs to be focused on the transformative power of Jesus Christ in the human heart, on people's
right.
lives.
Right.
And then obviously what you shared already, just focused on the Scripture,
mm-hmm.
based out of the Scripture. There was a powerful quote by a guy named Major Ian Thomas, who started a young adult thing years and years ago in Europe called Torchbearers,
mm-hmm.
which is similar in some ways to YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And he said that every revival, every amazing thing God does, awakening, comes from a result from simple obedience to the Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And every awakening revival produces simple obedience to the Scripture. So it's the circular effect,
mm-hmm.
of going back to what does God say again about my life, mm-hmm. about who I really am, about what he wants from me.
Mm-hmm.
And as we respond to that, there can be an awakening in our own lives, there can be an awakening in our churches, there can be an awakening in our nation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now it's going to create in some people a sense of awe, and isn't this spectacular, which it is, and it's also going to create in some people a little bit of, oh, what am I doing? You know, maybe my problem is I sit around and watch Seinfeld reruns. so I'm just trying to think, what can we do to start a revitalization or an awakening in our own church, on our own block, in a smaller place where we can start to get a little movement of our own and feel empowered to do the kind of thing on maybe a smaller scale versus what happened in Honduras.
Yep, no, totally. And I love that question because
it's one of my better questions.
That's such a natural response that people have is you hear about great things that are happening and you can either get real excited about it, or mm-hmm. There's times for all of us where we're like, I don't feel like that's happening for me, and so we feel discouraged. That's the exact opposite of what
it's
hope.
It's a mountaintop experience, and you go, oh, that's not me.
Yep.
And then you get deflated.
Yep, and that's the exact opposite that I hope people experience when they read Awakening, when they hear today's broadcast. 1 Thessalonians 3:8 has a great statement about this, and here's what they say. In the middle of our trouble and hard times here, just knowing how you're doing over there keeps us going.
Hmm.
Knowing that your faith is alive keeps us alive. So there's times for all of us as the body of Christ where we lift each other up and encourage each other. And I think one of the main things we need to remember when we hear about great things God's doing is that's my team.
Yeah,
we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. So we can't view it as selfishly or, oh, that's not happening in my church or my community yet. We need to actually view it as, wow, God can do that. What more could he do in my community? And I just need to get excited about what God's doing all over the place, because mm-hmm. that's credit to what I'm a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like the story I shared with you earlier of Alex Thompson, Surrounded by the Waves. We do need to feel insignificant.
Totally.
We do need to feel this feeling of the awe of God,
mm-hmm.
and how he's so much bigger, not just in these scriptural, that's the thing I was thinking about with my book as I was writing it, is not just with these. We talk about these big scriptures. Oh, God, you're so great. You're so worthy.
Mm-hmm.
But how in the practical, when the rubber meets the road, is there actually amazing things taking place in front of us today? And there is,
mm-hmm.
that we can point to and say, that is one more sign or a clear picture of how great God is. So
mm-hmm.
it gives a practical, feat to our theology that, man, God is really great.
Mm-hmm.
I see it in what he's doing in my nation and nations around the world.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk a little bit about prayer. Let's talk a little bit about fasting and all the things that, what kind of attack do we go about if we want to try to get some awakening in our neighborhood or in our church or in our, maybe even in our small Bible study when people are, we want to mobilize people. What kind of prayer strategy can you encourage others?
Amen. Yeah, well, I think the first part that I'd say to this is that it's a, when you commit to Christ, when you give Jesus your life, what you're saying is for my lifetime. And so there needs to be right away when we're talking about prayer, this commitment to the long term, that we're going to spend our lives wanting to see God move in great ways all around us. Secondly, is we can't force awakening or force God to move, but we can offer people Jesus. And oftentimes that's what sparks the great things that God has in store. And so I would make it all about the gospel in our prayers and in our effort to see people come to new life in Christ. That can awaken a church. That can awaken a community. That can awaken a nation. I mean, even in the Twin Cities, God's moving in some incredible ways. So I would first, you know,
be specific.
Yeah, I'm about to. I should. First, I want to say that God is, you know, moving in amazing ways, and we should honor what's happening, get excited about it before we even start saying maybe, because it could be a selfish prayer. God, I want to see, you know, it's like the people in the scripture who are asking for a miracle. And really, they were asking for miracles because they didn't see the ones that were already taking place, and they didn't believe really what Jesus was saying. And so it needs to come out of a heart of faith and trust that God can do greater things, but he'll do what's right. So again, focusing on the gospel. Now, thinking about the Twin Cities, keep hearing these great stories. Obviously, you probably know of what God's doing through Eagle Brook Church. I don't even attend there, so this is me just talking about the with excitement. Another denomination, another church, and things that are happening. They've had, I believe it was 27,000 people at Easter last year.
Wow!
And Easter's coming up again this week. I don't even know what's going on. I was just seeing that another church on the South Metro, River Valley Church, has 21 services at 7 campuses. Now, again, I'm saying these things, and it could be easy for a pastor listening right now to be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Get excited about what God's doing. This is your team. It's not about being bigger and better, but it's about God doing more in our lives, God doing more in our communities. That's always what it's about.
Yeah.
It's not about this, you know, just these big things, but it's about Christ being known. And so thinking of that, man, there's you got the National Day of Prayer coming up. There was a young gathering that happened this last year. They had 10,000 young people.
Wow.
That came together in Mariucci Arena. That's coming up again. Just amazing things that God's doing all across the cities and with young people, but with so many churches of so many denominations. There's faithful pastors and leaders who have been investing in discipling. I think of my church growing up, you know, it wasn't a big church. It was that average church size. But I think of the dozens of young people now doing ministry around the world because of the faithful leadership of those leaders.
Wow. And the mentors and all the people that invested in them. Yeah.
So whatever you do in Christ's name, may God do greater things than you're seeing now, but may he also encourage you in your faithfulness.
Well, save some of your extra good stuff for the last segment we've got coming up. We're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold sitting in today for Susie Larson. Oh, boy, we miss her, but she'll be back. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold is in today for Susie Larson, and I certainly hope you've been having a pleasant day. It's awfully nice out there, and hopefully the sunshine has encouraged you and given you a reason to rejoice, because spring is on its way, and then after that, I believe, is the summer season, which I look forward to. And we're in studio today talking to Matt Brown. He's an evangelist. He's an author. He's a blogger, and he is making a difference in people's lives, especially with young kids. And Matt, you wrote about spiritual blindness. I kind of know what it means for me, but what does it mean to you, especially in our culture today?
Yeah, well, so basically there's varying levels, I believe, through Scripture for all of us of spiritual blindness. A couple of scriptures here. Jesus says when he's walking the earth, I mean, think of it. We're talking about movements, great things God's doing. But Jesus visited the earth, the Son of God,
no kidding,
the creator of everything, visits the earth, right?
Yeah.
And he says in Luke 19:44, you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And so there's this sense that, like, okay, even they missed it when he was there. Even the disciples, even the closest followers of Christ, a lot of times would goof up or say something funny or miss the significance of what Jesus was doing right in front of them. And one verse is Mark 6:52. after he Jesus feeds the 5,000, it says that, "For they failed to understand or consider the teaching and the meaning of the miracle of the loaves. In fact, their hearts had grown callous. They had become dull and lost the power of understanding." You know, I think of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about we see through a mirror dimly.
Mm-hmm.
Corinthians also talks about how the veil is removed in Christ, but yet there's, you know, we still don't fully see the great things God's doing or the greatness of Christ, but we can grasp it. You know, we can try to see it, to understand it and how beautiful and incredible it is, the gospel and what God's doing today. And it's so important that we do, that God opens our eyes to understand what he's doing and so that we can be a part of it.
Cool. So when you're working on your books, do you write longhand or you get on your laptop? What do you do?
Yeah, I'm on my my laptop, and typically I'm just, you know, for years leading up to, because a book process is a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's many years and the making. The average author, I think it's like 2 years. For me, I'm just not doing very well with it. I'm like 5 years. So
right.
Typically with each book. And so basically I'm just though collecting all these stories and related to what I feel God has put on my heart, and then compiling them, then eventually you got to kick some of them out and edit them down and things. But I just try to collect as much as I can and bring it together and start to organize it and write
Excellent.
It out.
Excellent. So. Kind of synthesize everything.
Yep.
You have a chapter in your book that looks at missional movements. So I'm going to probably need, and the listeners, a little bit of background on what that means and what it looks like.
Yep. So basically in Awakening, I talk about three specific areas of Awakening that are happening. One is on prayer. One is on specifically, like you shared, missional and on evangelism and how the gospel is going around the world. So actually, I break down in a couple other parts of the world, in the Middle East, in China, how the gospel is going out in amazing ways, more than most people realize. And so I give some big picture things, but I also share some personal stories. So the last few years I've had the opportunity to be connected with and a part of a little bit Harvest America with Greg Laurie.
Oh, sure.
And that's just been super cool to be a part of. He's done his Harvest events over the years around the nation, especially in Southern California at Anaheim Stadium, where the Dodgers play there. But Harvest America specifically has been this, you know, this event taking place in a physical location, but then simulcast around the nation. So 2 years ago, I was able to be in Philadelphia where he held it. This last year, they did in Dallas. Actually, this fall, they're holding it again in Dallas, Fort Worth area, and it's going to be at AT&T Stadium.
Cool.
Which, if you know, that's like the largest stadium
that's
in the country.
Cool. Yeah.
It's the biggest step of faith, they say, that they've ever taken in their ministry.
Wow.
And seats about 105,000 people.
Yeah, and, a lot of bodies.
So they just had an incredible turnout in Dallas this last fall, but they felt God leading them to take this step. What's neat about all of it, though, is it's not just that stadium. They actually broadcast it to churches, to homes across the nation. And what's fun about this story is I could share stories about different parts of the world. Really, Christianity is growing, especially in like the Southern Hemisphere for whatever reason. As statisticians look at this, as historians look at this, as people who keep up with current church events. So there, in many other countries, there's all these amazing stories, but it's so fun to hear about stories at home. Like you asked earlier in the Twin Cities.
Right.
And things that are happening around us.
And we care about our nation. We relate to that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, love sending missionaries, but we want to see our nation.
Totally.
Impacted for God. And all we hear about, again, on the news is the negative stuff. And, you know, I'm not trying to bash the news, but it's the reality. And so typically that's what we hear. That's why, I mean, having things like Christian radio here, where these kind of stories can be shared in the different books of Christian leaders that are on every single day. This is important for believers to hear this stuff. So all that to say, Harvest America last year had 4,000 host sites around the country from every single state in the U.S. What's fun about it is you can host it for free.
Wow.
So you could take all the things I'm sharing with you today, and you can literally just simply sign up, and you can host it in your community, at your church. You don't even have to be a pastor. You could host it in some neighborhood, you know, exercise facility. You can do it wherever you want, wherever you can find space. And you can have great Christian artists, have Greg Laurie sharing the biblical gospel and calling people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And it's been amazing to see what's happening through that. I'm excited about what will continue to happen through that. So things like that. There's one story I share in all of this, getting back to how do we take this then to people around us. And I think the key thought that I would say is to talk about all the great things God's doing. So often we want to go bring to people, you know, the discouraging news. And we think that's what we got to start with is, hey, America's going to hell in a handbag. You know, we're all in trouble.
Right.
You know, and what we need to do is focus instead and trumpet the goodness of the gospel. There's a powerful scripture that I shared this morning on my Twitter. I don't know if anyone's on Twitter. Where I'm pulling it up here. Just that shares how our task, our goal is to finish the task that God has called us to, is to share about the incredible kindness and love of God. And so what we need to be sharing with our neighbors is an excitement, an authentic love and passion for the things of God. And that's what's gonna impact people. Not just bashing, not just shooting down all the things that are wrong, but talking about the things that are right in Christ and in the church.
We have a couple minutes left, Matt, and I want to ask you how we make a distinction, because we hear so much bad news, and some of it paralyzes you because you cannot believe it. You look at some of the things that have gone on with, you know, ISIS and some of this stuff, and it stops you in your tracks. And how do we wade through that without getting depressed or scared?
That's a fantastic question. It really is.
One of my better ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're full of good ones.
Thank you so much.
But it really is. It is. You know, that is a great question to consider, and I address it some in Awakening. You know, part of what I think of, you know, I was talking with my wife's grandfather recently, and his grandpa actually lived, he's an old, he's lived a long life, and his, I think it's his grandpa or great-grandpa, lived in the time of the Civil War.
Wow.
When Americans were killing each other, like hundreds of thousands of people were dying, and we were fighting over slavery, we were fighting over human rights, and it's amazing to consider where we've come in our nation. Sometimes we think, oh, the good old days when America was all Christian, but the reality is that there has been incredible hardships in our nation and around the world all through history. And there has been seasons and periods of awakening and God moving that have brought literally in few year periods of time, millions of people back to church and back to God. And that's what we need to have hope with in the middle of what we face today.
Yeah. Matt Brown, you're a guy that's dialed in. You're making a difference, and you're ambitious, which I like, because you're ambitious for the Lord. And there's a lot of people out there that might need a little bit of encouragement because they feel a little bit stuck, and they want to share their faith. They want to empower and get an awakening going. Would you pray for that?
Yes, I would love to.
People?
God, we thank you for each person listening today, everyone listening, God, to the online stream and podcast. And we just ask together, God, that you would awaken our hearts to the glory of the gospel. Lord, that you would show us, God, and we know that we are dependent on you to open our eyes. We ask in Jesus' name that you would just show us, God, your greatness. Show us how you're moving through your church. God, get us excited about your work and the things you have for our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, we've been talking today to Matt Brown, and he's an evangelist and a blogger and an all-around awfully nice guy. He's got white straight teeth, and that bugs me a little bit. And he's got store-bought haircut and the whole thing. But he's been just a delight to have in the studio. And it's been fun to have you in the studio, because oftentimes when I sit in here for Susie, I'm just on the phone. So
it's been a joy, Bill. Thank
you
so much.
Thanks. So tune in tomorrow for Live the Promise. Tomorrow, Susie's going to talk to Major Scott Smiley about life in the military and how God redeemed an injury he sustained while serving in Iraq. That's tomorrow on Live the Promise. So I'm so glad you tuned in today. As Susie says, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one who will keep you strong to the end. And that wraps up my time in Susie's chair. It's been great to be here. Thank you, Susie, for letting me sit in on your behalf. And thank you to my guests today, Rob Bentz and Matt Brown, who were excellent guests. We had a lot of fun and a great conversation. So that's all for today. God bless everyone. Have a great evening.